from WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What is up, beautiful people? Happy, happy Monday, May 18th, 2015, and you are now tuned into Current Sports. As always, I am your host, Al Martin. We've got a fantastic show in store for you all today as we recap the weekend that was in the incredible sporting world. Of course, Miguel Cabrera getting number 400 on Saturday. How about that? We'll talk about Miguel and the Tigers' overall outing over the weekend against the St. Louis Cardinals. Also, how about American Pharoah? This horse just keeps on impressing and is making me a believer race after race. And now he has a chance to, of course, win a Triple Crown. I can't believe it. I can't believe that we're possibly seeing this again. Of course, last year with California Chrome, we'll talk about American Pharoah's chances. And how about the weekend that was for the MSU Women's Outdoor Track and Field Team as they took the Big Ten Championship, folks? We will talk to Walt Drift, director of Michigan State Cross Country and Track and Field. You do not want to miss that chat. We'll also have weekend winners for you as well as take your calls. But hey, let's start this party like we always do. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners again for this Monday, May 18th. All right, competing in her final home meet on Sunday, senior Leah O'Connor delivered another historic performance in leading the Michigan State women's team to the Big Ten Outdoor Track and Field Championship with 128 points. Now, the Spartan men, they recorded 55 points and finished 7th overall as Illinois took home the men's team championship. The Big Ten title was the second in Michigan State University women's program history and the first since 1982. Now, Michigan State hosted this weekend's event at Ralph Young Track and Field for the first time since 2006. Now, we will be chatting with Walt Drent, the director of Michigan State Cross Country and Track and Field, in just a sec here on Current Sports. Stay tuned. Again, you do not want to miss that chat. All right, Michigan State women's basketball player Ariel Powers was named to the 2015 USA Basketball Women's World University Games roster. Now, the team was announced after 3 days of trials from a pool of 51 athletes. Now, the trials were held in Colorado Springs, Colorado, determined a two 12-player teams, one that will play in the Pan American Games, while the other will compete in the World University Games. Now, Powers and her World University Games teammates will return to Colorado Springs for training camp on June 18th to July 2nd before departing for the event. Congratulations to Ariel Powers. No surprise there. All right, the number 3-ranked University of Michigan softball team posted several big innings, including a 5-run first inning to clinch its 4th straight NCAA regional crown with a 10-3 decision over Pittsburgh on Sunday afternoon. Now, the Wolverines will host Georgia, the winner of the Athens Regional, in a best-of-3 NCAA Super Regional this weekend at Alumni Field. Now, play begins Thursday night at 9 p.m. on ESPN2, and Game 2 and, if necessary, Game 3 scheduled for 6 p.m. on ESPNU and 9 p.m. on ESPN, respectively. All right, folks, well, the day has finally come. That's right, the Diamond Classic, high school's prestigious baseball tournament right here in Mid-Michigan, kicks off today. DeWitt versus Lansing Catholic will begin things at 5:30 p.m. at Kircher Municipal Park. And the second game has Hazlitt taking on Portland St. Patrick at 7:30 p.m. On Wednesday, Mason will face Portland at 5:30, and Fowlerville will take on East Lansing at 7:30 p.m. Thursday, we'll see Grand Ledge versus the winner of DeWitt or Lansing Catholic, and St. John's versus Hazlitt or Portland St. Patrick. Again, keep it locked to WKAR.org and right here to Current Sports Radio throughout the week for updates and coverage of the Diamond Classic. All right, Colton Wong hit a tie-breaking home run in the sixth inning, and Lance Lynn got his fifth career RBI to back his dominant pitching as the St. Louis Cards beat the Detroit Tigers 2-1 on Sunday to avoid a three-game sweep. Miguel Cabrera's RBI double in the first was the only damage against Lynn. Cabrera has four homers and nine RBIs in the past four games, including his 400th homer on Sunday. The Tigers now begin a three-game home series against the Milwaukee Brewers starting tonight. All right, with thunder rumbling and rain pouring down, Kentucky Derby winner American Pharoah cruised to the lead early and easily won the Preakness Stakes on Saturday. Now, the brilliant three-year-old colt was never seriously challenged after shaking off long shot Mr. Z and won by seven lengths to set up the ultimate drama in racing. A triple crown attempt at the Belmont Stakes in 3 weeks in New York. How impressive is American Pharoah, folks? All right, and in Game 7 action, the L.A. Clippers fell to the Houston Rockets in yesterday's Western Conference semifinals, 113-100, the final of that one. The Rockets are heading to the Western Conference Finals for the first time in 18 years after overcoming a 3-1 series deficit to eliminate the Clips. And Rory McIlroy won the Wells Fargo Championship by 7 strokes, setting a new tournament record score of 267. Well, those are your current sports quick hit headliners. Our phone lines are open, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Also go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports and even tweet me at Al Martin WKAR. Without further ado, it's about that time to start the show. And that is how we start today's current sports. Welcome to the show. I am your host, Al Martin. Happy, happy Monday. I truly hope you guys had a fantastic weekend, and I would be remiss if I did not shout out the time that I had at the East Lansing Art Festival over the weekend. It was a great time. Many people came out. East Lansing was certainly in full effect as many people walked the streets downtown East Lansing and looked at various art from all over the world. Great time, and I always love it because I get a chance to host the concerts and introduce various artists that come through the mold throughout the weekend. And on Saturday, I was actually down there emceeing and introducing those that the musical talent down there. And, of course, you know, there were individuals like Rodney Whittaker and Soul R For Real. How about that? They were fantastic. Also got to introduce the Lincoln County Process. They were a fantastic group. Just a great time. A great time down there. Also, Lights and Caves, they were down there as well. A great time. Got to meet a lot of you out there, a lot of our listeners and viewers who tune in, who are so dedicated each and every day at 1 o'clock, and even at, you know, and even enjoy the TV show each and every Thursday night at 10 o'clock. Got a chance to put a face to the names of the various emails that I get that that enjoy the show. So it was a fantastic time being out there, and thanks for coming by and saying hello to myself along with the rest of our fantastic crew here at WKAR. So it was a fantastic weekend. Hopefully, if you didn't hit up the East Lansing Art Festival, I hope you had a great weekend. It was the weather was great. The only rain that we saw, to my knowledge, happened to be, late last night. Other than that, it was a great 80-degree. Sun was shining. Was a bit cloudy at times, but it was just an overall great weekend. So we're back at it today. Again, it is Monday, May 18th. We've got a hot show in store for you. And as you just heard throughout that montage, a lot going on in the world of sports. Before we dive into it, of course, I have to invite our outstanding engineer here at WKAR's Current Sports, Isaac Constance. Isaac, how you doing?
I'm doing well, Al. Like you, I went down to the East Lansing Arts Festival this weekend, and I have to say, I was very impressed. A lot of talent in the area.
Yeah, without a doubt. And yeah, Isaac and I, we bumped heads actually when we were when I was emceeing, and I turned around, all of a sudden you were there, and you enjoyed some of the music down there and some of the art. Did you purchase any of the art? Because one thing about me, when I'm walking around, man, some of that art is pretty expensive, man. But people shell out a lot of money for to have some of that stuff in their homes.
Well, that's the thing. I went down planning to buy some art because the first day I just walked around and I gave my dad a call, and he said, you know, I think it would be a good idea to buy some art because it would be interesting as you age to see how your taste progressed.
Ah, that's an interesting take. Okay.
So, yeah, I thought that was a great idea. I put $120 into my wallet and couldn't find one thing that cost that little.
So, wow. Are you kidding me?
No,
that's unbelievable.
Yeah.
So, well, what were you looking for?
I was looking for something decently sized on a canvas instead of just a printout or anything.
Okay.
But at the same time, I was expecting to find something, and I just ended up keeping the $120.
Use it for your rent, okay? There you go. And you know what, Isaac? You know, changing the mood here just a bit, changing the subject just a bit here. I actually, before I took the air here for today's show, I went into my mailbox and I finally received the Sports Illustrated issue that everyone in Michigan seems to be a bit displeased about. And I was wondering if I would ever get it because I checked all last week and it didn't show up. But finally, I went to my mailbox and there you have it. You have Jim Harbaugh's face on the cover of Sports Illustrated. And it says, Jim Harbaugh, Michigan's coach, comes home. An article done by Michael Rosenberg. And a quote here says, quote, you have enemies good. That means you've stood for something sometime in your life. I'm very intrigued to check out this article. And of course, the first thing that came to my mind when looking at this issue was, why hasn't Coach D been on the cover of Sports Illustrated with all that he's done right here in the state of Michigan in the world of college football? But yet Jim Harbaugh, he hasn't even coached one game yet. He hasn't even donned the sidelines yet in an official college football game, but yet he is gracing the most popular sports magazine in America. I just don't understand that. But I don't know. I think that, of course, in the world of sports, media members, including us alike, Isaac, we feed into the hype that is surrounded by anything noteworthy. And, of course, when you have a big name like Jim Harbaugh, who he's a staple when talking about the NFL and coaches in the NFL. Of course, him and his brother John, they even coached against each other in a Super Bowl. I always love to bring that up because I thought that was just an incredibly cool moment in the world of sports. But anytime you have a big name like that coming down to coach the college ranks, it's naturally going to get a lot of attention. So yeah, if Michigan State fans out there that may be looking at this and saying, yeah, I'm a bit upset, you know, that Jim Harbaugh gets the cover of Sports Illustrated, but Coach D'Antonio hasn't, and I don't know how long. Has he ever? I don't even know if Coach D has ever been on the cover of Sports Illustrated. I think we have to Google that one, Isaac. But, you know, Jim Harbaugh, yet he hasn't even coached one game, yet dons the cover. I sound a bit salty right now. Yeah, just a little bit. But I feel other Michigan State fans out there that may be listening, I feel your pain out there. I get it. I get where it's coming from. All right. Well, folks, again, our phone lines are open, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. I want to start off today's show by talking about the Detroit Tigers. Now, you know, it was an incredible milestone. I want to start off by talking about one individual in particular. I think you guys know where I'm going with this. Miguel Cabrera. Man, oh, man. Miguel Cabrera is doing what Miguel Cabrera does. I mean, how fantastic is Miguel Cabrera, folks? I mean, it is so fun to watch him play. Again, right now, you know, looking at yesterday's game, his RBI double in the first inning was really the only damage against Lance Lynn, who had a pretty good pitching performance for the St. Louis Cards last night. Cabrera, though, he has four homers and nine RBIs in the past four games, including, of course, that 400th homer that occurred on Saturday right before the lane delay, the rain delay against the St. Louis Cardinals. I tell you what, it's so impressive just to watch him play. Again, he is one of those players that no matter what you are doing, you have to stop and see what he is going to do. Whenever he takes bat, folks, it's a joy to watch him play. Now, again, he hits that 400th homer before that rain delay against St. Louis on Saturday. Now, if you look at how his numbers compare with the great hammering Hank Aaron, it is so eerie because ESPN actually brought up a graphic that compare Miguel Cabrera's numbers to Hank Aaron's numbers at exactly the same moment where Miguel Cabrera is in his career as to where Hank Aaron was in his career at the age of 32 and after hitting his 400th homer. And it is so eerie. It's pretty eerie if you look at these numbers, Isaac. They both have a .320 batting average. And if you look at their slugging percentage, it's .564 and .566 respectively. And looking at their RBIs, Miguel Cabrera has 1,398 RBIs compared to 1,310 RBIs for Hank Aaron. I mean, how close are those numbers? That's kind of spooky, man. So right now, if Miguel Cabrera stays on the pace that he is in his career, I mean, he certainly could be challenging the all-time home run record. I truly believe that. But again, there are other variables that have to fall in place for Miggy if he wants that to come to fruition, if Tigers fans want to see that. And the big one for me being the H word, health. He's got to stay healthy. But right now, I mean, it just my jaw is on the floor just looking at Miguel Cabrera's numbers and what he is able to do year after year, season after season, Isaac. Pretty impressive stuff.
Really is. And when you talk about Cabrera's recent performance, he's been the guy to really step up his game and keep the Tigers in these close games against, especially when you look in the Cardinals series, that when I think Saturday night in 10 innings, Cabrera was great then. Cabrera has just stepped up his game. And earlier this season, there were some issues with, and of course they were injury-based. That's what the worries were. But he's really flushed away all of those worries and once again proven that he is one of the best batters we have seen recently in baseball.
Yeah, and I think he will go down as one of the he is, I think, the best batter in baseball today. It's unbelievable to see what he's able to do on a daily basis. Manning the plate. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable to see him, you know, see him go to work. And the thing about it is, you know, and watching the coverage over the weekend and how they broke Miggy's numbers down and so on and so forth. Miguel Cabrera, what you hear from a lot of analysts out there and a lot of, you know, former players of the game and a lot of Miguel Cabrera's teammates over the years is that Miguel Cabrera is the smartest hitter in the game as well. He's so smart. I mean, he can tell you what a pitcher is going to throw, how he's going to throw it. I mean, just right before he does it. I mean, it's unbelievable what Miguel Cabrera is able to do. Everybody talks about how smart Miguel Cabrera is. And, you know, it's interesting because, you know, a moment was brought up over the weekend. I forget who the baseball analyst was, but I was watching baseball tonight right before the Tigers took on the Cardinals last night. And they had a lot of coverage on Miguel Cabrera and his place in baseball history and so on and so forth. And, you know, one analyst brought up the moment in Miguel Cabrera's career where they truly felt as though he was turning the corner. And that moment occurred, if you remember, back in 2003 when Miguel Cabrera played for the Marlins, and Roger Clemens, the great Roger Clemens decided to take a shot at this young kid. And, you know, Roger Clemens, he threw a fastball right near the face of Miguel Cabrera. Miguel Cabrera shakes it off. It doesn't faze him. And a few minutes later, Miguel Cabrera hits one deep to right center field. And it was at that moment where a lot of people feel as though Miguel Cabrera was this kid could be the real deal. He could be something special. And it was from then on that we start to see just this kid just blossom. And, you know, Miguel Cabrera, he's 32 right now. And it's going to be interesting if he can keep this pace. Again, the big thing for Miguel Cabrera is if he can stay healthy. Because it is surely tough. I mean, Miguel Cabrera being right now at 32 years old, being at the prime of his baseball career, can he keep this up? Because the thing is, you know, when comparing, if you want to make these comparisons to some of the greatest to ever play the game, again, the comparison to Hank Aaron, as I just said and ran down those numbers, eerily similar. But the thing about Hank Aaron that was so interesting was that from the ages of 35 to the end of his career, Hank Aaron was one of the most efficient players in the game of baseball still at that age. So we always hear about the decline of a baseball player as you know, as the rubber meets the road and the mileage, you know, starts to acquire in a baseball player's career and how that slows down a player's career. But again, Miguel Cabrera, he is on pace right now to match the numbers of Hank Aaron and possibly surpass them. But again, can he stay healthy? That's the big thing for him. He has the intangibles, he has the strength, but again, health is the big factor with me. Now, looking at the overall outing for the Tigers this past weekend, again, they take two of the three games against the St. Louis Cardinals. They are right now still keeping the pace when it comes to the Kansas City Royals in the AL Central. They are a game in back of the Royals. The Royals, of course, they took two of three games against the New York Yankees over the weekend. And I think this is what it's going to come down to. I think, you know, the Tigers and the Royals here, Isaac. Because right now the Royals are playing fantastic baseball, and you know, for the Tigers to keep that pace, it's going to be interesting as they come down the stretch as this baseball season continues.
It is, and you know, the Tigers and Royals have been going back and forth this whole year, so the Tigers now having a totally healthy squad and with Cabrera seeming to find his stride, they look good. They're in prime position. I think they're two games down at the or a game and a half down.
Actually, a game in back of the of Kansas City, yep.
Yeah, so the Tigers are in good position, prime position. We always talk about it's still early in the season, and it's a little bit quick. We'd be quick to jump to assumptions about where these teams are headed, but it looks like another great competition between these two for that championship of their division. And again, for the Tigers, another player who I have to give a shout-out to who's really upped his game recently is Ian Kinsler as well.
Hasn't he been fantastic?
He has. In the month of May, you look at it, he's averaging .373, really, you know, bumping up his batting average. He's been getting a lot of runs and a lot of hits. And he's done the job that the Tigers kind of needed him to do because the Tigers didn't have a good two hole hitter or anything like that, and Ian Kinsler stepped up to the plate.
Yeah, and a former colleague of mine over at Channel 6 News here in the area, Kevin Gale, who of course is a proud Missouri alum, he always brings up Ian Kinsler being and graduating, being, you know, from Mizzou. So shout out to Kevin on that one. But yeah, you know, the Tigers winning, you know, two out of three over the weekend. Last night, really a pitcher's duel between Alfredo Simon and Lance Lynn. Both fantastic. Of course, with Alfredo just giving up, you know, as that game went on, just, you know, giving up that crucial hit to Wong as that game went on. But it's encouraging to see that the bats have awakened for the Tigers after having a bit of a stretch prior to the past seven or eight games now, where they were really struggling to accrue runs. Jose Iglesias is another name I think needs to also be given a shout out because I mean he was fantastic, especially in that game too, getting that 10th inning win for the Tigers. And the Tigers certainly had chances last night to get the equalizer. In the seventh, Victor Martinez, the pinch hit with a runner at third and two out, but fouled out weakly to third base. And in the eighth, J.D. Martinez grounded into an inning-ending double play with two on and one out. So another thing for me, and I'm going to be watching very closely as the season goes on for the Tigers, is timely hitting. When they are in those close game situations and when they do have runners in scoring position, somebody has to come through. Somebody has to knock those guys in. And the Tigers haven't been great at that so far this year. Quick update when it comes to Justin Verlander. When will he return? That's the big question. And after three bullpen sessions the past week, the Tigers' right-handed reliever will throw live batting in practice today at Comerica Park. So hopefully we see Justin Verlander return. And I think we have to sort of temper our expectations for when he does return, Isaac, because we haven't seen JV all year. And I think it's pretty unfair to expect a lot of him in his first few outings as a Tiger once he does return.
I agree 100%. And the other thing to keep in mind is we'll see if JV is kind of eased into this rotation, because the rotation has been really good. You talk about last night, Alfredo Simon pitched a very good game. 7 innings, 2 earned runs. You'll take that outing any time. So when you look at the Tigers, they've got their ace in David Price, and Justin Verlander, of course, will add to that once he's back at full health. But when he first comes back, it's not a terrible thing if he's struggling a little bit, because the Tigers have the rest of that rotation making up for it right now with their current pitching.
Yeah, that is certainly true. Again, folks, our phone lines are open, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Before we hit our first break here, Isaac, of course, I have to bring up this incredible, incredible three-year-old colt who now I think the talk seriously, come to the surface about American Pharoah winning the first Triple Crown since the 70s. And again, it was not ideal conditions for horses to race on Saturday during the Preakness Stakes, but Kentucky Derby winner American Pharoah just cruised to the lead early and easily won the Preakness on Saturday. Never seriously challenged after shaking off Mr. Z, won by 7 lengths. Are you kidding me? Now, of course, the Belmont Stakes will take place in 3 weeks in New York City. Isaac, are you becoming a believer that American Pharoah can get this whole thing done?
I am, because if you remember last time, I said, okay, let's cool it on the Triple Crown talk. Let's talk about if he can win the Preakness first.
Yeah.
Well, he won the Preakness, and there's only one race left to win, and he dominated that last race so much. Like you said, 7 lengths.
Yeah.
We had all of these hyped up, really exciting, or supposed to be exciting, sporting events this weekend, and they were blowouts, and this was one of them. So, no, I'm a believer. Now, of course, he's going to have some heavier and stiffer competition for this final race because, like you said last time, people skip the Preakness in order to compete for the final leg of the Triple Crown.
Right,
and
right.
Materiality and Frosted are two names that I've heard thrown around as names that could possibly upset American Pharoah.
Now, did both of those horses, did they race in the Preakness Stakes?
Neither did.
Okay, neither did, but we'll see them during the Belmont, right, later on. So, and again, I've gone on my rant. I don't think that it's fair for horses who don't race all three races to participate in one or two, and to possibly knock off a horse who has raced in all three and has a chance, a legit chance, at a Triple Crown now. So we're starting to see that now. Also have to give a shout-out to Victor Espinoza. I don't think that it's a coincidence that last year with California Chrome, who also had a chance at a Triple Crown, I don't think it's a coincidence that Victor Espinoza has now been the same jockey, the past 2 years that has held, and manned both two horses that have had a chance at the Triple Crown. It's really unbelievable what Victor Espinoza and that entire crew has been able to do. And again, I think I'm a believer now, Isaac, because of what you just said and what I previously mentioned. It was about the dominance. That's what you have to really look at when looking at American Pharoah's chances at winning the Triple Crown. How is this horse winning? Seven lengths? That's pretty convincing. That shows me that you are not just beating the field. You are completely just stomping on their throat and not giving them one chance at hope of beating you. That dominance, I think, is something that's pretty special and why I do believe that American Pharoah is unlike any horse that we've seen in the past 5 to 10 years. I think American Pharoah gets the job done, and I think we will finally see a Triple Crown winner, the first, at least in our lifetime, huh, Isaac?
Yeah, and it's such a name. That's a name that can win a Triple Crown.
Isn't American that a, that's Pharoah. A great name, isn't it? American Pharoah? Yeah, that's a great name, fantastic name. Folks, what do you think about American Pharoah? Do you think that this incredible colt will pull out the coveted Triple Crown? Call in 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. All right, folks, well, when we come back, we will invite Walt Drenth, who is the director of the cross-country and track and field teams here at Michigan State University. He will talk about that incredible win for the Michigan State women's track and field outdoor team, capturing the outdoor Big Ten championship over the weekend. Don't touch that dial. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports right here on WKAR AM 870. Hey, 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 welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Got to remind you all that, hey, Current Sports TV is back and in full effect this week. That's right, Wednesday afternoon, not evening, folks. We're actually changing our Current Sports TV production time from 6 p.m. to now 3 p.m. over the spring and summer months here. So that starts this week, and this Wednesday at 3 p.m. I'll be chatting with Mike Ingram, who is the head coach of the Lansing Community College men's basketball team. And Mike, we actually tried, if you remember, to get him on a few weeks ago. He had a scheduling conflict in which he had to attend the team's banquet, but we got him this week. Again, if you want to be a part of that live studio audience this Wednesday at 3, all you got to do is simply go to WKAR.org and sign up online for free and just show up. And I love seeing all of your smiling faces out there that attend Current Sports TV each and every week. Also, it's going to be a busy day for me, Isaac. After that, after we do our TV taping, I will be heading down to my hometown. That's right, Detroit, Michigan. I'll be heading down to the Ford Motor Company headquarters and attending the journalism journalism program, in which they take a lot of local high schools in the city of Detroit, and they take kids who are interested in journalism, teach them the craft, and they actually put together a newspaper at the end of each year, articles in which they've actually gone out in the field and done fabulous reporting. So they are having their end of the year banquet, and I will be the keynote speaker down there. So certainly looking forward to that, and probably after I give my speech, I'll probably go see my mama and grandmama, seeing as though I did not get to see them on Mother's Day due to that flat tire that I talked about last weekend. So it's going to be a busy week. Again, Isaac and I will actually be out at Kircher Municipal Park as well later on this afternoon, as today marks the opening day for one of my favorite sporting events to cover, of course, the Diamond Classic, where we see the areas, some of the area's best baseball teams go at it. And, some of the more recognizable programs that have just been dominant over the years. The program that has been dominant over the years that everyone talks about is Pat O'Keefe and the Grand Ledge Comets. Of course, they have been just fabulous to watch every single year, and I expect them to go pretty far in this tournament as well. So just keep it locked to WKAR.org for our coverage of everything Diamond Classic. Isaac, I want to first, to move on the program here, I want to talk about the Los Angeles Clippers and Houston Rockets Game 7 yesterday. The Los Angeles Clippers relinquishing a golden opportunity throughout that series to move on to, I believe, that if they would have won yesterday or would have closed out the series even before what took place yesterday, I think it would have been the first conference final in the franchise ever. Is that true?
Yes.
Wow. Just right through their fingertips. And I believe they had what a 3-1 series lead. And they had a 19-point lead the game before, in game six, blew that. And that momentum certainly carried on the road out in Houston yesterday. And the Clippers, to me, just really look like they just threw in the towel, especially in that third quarter. Now, one guy I can say that didn't have a nonchalant attitude and who really played his tail off, and a lot of people, I'm pretty sure, are going to give him a lot of blame, and I don't think it's deserving, because looking at the way he played throughout this series, it was impressive. Chris Paul was fantastic in that series, Isaac. And, of course, he will get a lot of the blame because Chris Paul, he is that team. He's the face of the Los Angeles Clippers. If anything goes wrong, he's the quarterback. You know, it's kind of like, to equate it to football, a lot of people will argue that the most important position out there is the think tank, is the guy behind center, the quarterback. Chris Paul is the quarterback of that squad. He is the face of that franchise. Him and his squad haven't gotten the job done now. A team with a lot of talent that many feel should be competing for championships on a regular basis. Chris Paul is going to get a lot of blame, but I don't think he deserves it. Looking at the way he played yesterday and throughout that entire series, Chris Paul laid it all out in the line. It's just that he didn't get enough help.
Yeah, I agree. Paul was, he was playing his heart out. He was playing like he had never made a conference finals, which of course he had not. And he was playing like it was his last chance to do so, which I do not think is the case whatsoever. However, every year in the West, you have these new hot teams come up because there's so much youth, so much talent in the West. So the Clippers' chances are dwindling slightly as Paul ages, because Paul is not the player he's used to be. However, he's still, in my opinion, the best point guard in the game. And right. I think Chris Paul played his heart out. However, when I look at this series, I have to give credit to Trevor Ariza yesterday. I have to give credit to Corey Brewer. And more than anybody else, I give credit to Josh Smith. We talk about the former Detroit Piston. And, you know, he did not have a great tenure here in Detroit. But with the Rockets, he started hitting his threes. You look at yesterday, 2 of 4, 6 of 10 from the field, only one turnover, 15 points. Josh Smith has been so good for the Clippers, and in my opinion, he's the reason they won this series.
Yeah, and you know, it's so interesting to look at you know, how Josh Smith, a player who, when looking at his tenure with the Detroit Pistons, just struggled. And he wasn't a great fit for Detroit. A friend of mine in the industry, Eric Doc Love of 92.1, he loves to call him a chucker, because he just used to just chuck a lot of threes up there, a lot of shots left and right. He really couldn't find a cohesive part of his game that gelled well with the way the Detroit Pistons played. But now out in Houston, now one thing I can't say about Josh Smith, Josh Smith has always been a pretty good defender. It was really interesting to see how he affected the game defensively yesterday. And I believe with those stops and with the crowd and momentum, the crowd, you know, with the oohs and ahs and with that momentum going in his favor, it helped him on the offensive end from a confidence standpoint to knock down big three-pointers, big jump shots when his team needed him. And it's fantastic. Now, again, it's not the sexy matchup that a lot of us wanted to see in the Western Conference Finals, because how entertaining would it have been to see the Clippers and Golden State Warriors go at it, two teams that really don't like each other, you know, Chris Paul versus, you know, Steph Curry. Steph Curry has embarrassed Chris Paul multiple times throughout the year. He has that could be an entire montage in itself. But, I mean, just stars everywhere in that series. But now, you know, you kind of get the matchup, you know, that, you know, the secondary matchup, the Rockets versus, you know, the Golden State Warriors. There is one intriguing piece to that, though. I will say it's going to be fun to watch James Harden and Steph Curry go at it. Many people like myself felt as though the MVP should have went to James Harden, but it's hard to argue with what Steph Curry has done this year. But James Harden and Steph Curry, the two guys who have been vying for the MVP pretty much all season, go at it. So at the end of the day, I think that the path did get easier for Golden State to now go to the NBA Finals, and probably they will meet the Cavaliers in that matchup. That's going to be an intriguing matchup. At the end of the day, though, I think that the Golden State Warriors, it's their NBA championship to lose, Isaac.
I agree. I thought the teams that would give Golden State the best matchup going into the playoffs were the Grizzlies, who certainly played a good series. At the end of the day, they didn't really have a chance just because of Golden State's pace. And they're really, if a team is shooting well, it's hard to beat them. The NBA defense wins championships, but the best offense always beats the best defense.
Yeah.
Because no matter how well you play a player, sometimes, and you look at Kobe Bryant as the perfect example of this, there are bad shot makers in the NBA. And the Golden State Warriors have multiple bad shot makers in Steph Curry and Klay Thompson, who for other people, those shots, they wouldn't dream of making them. And they do it all the time. I think the Warriors can win this series in a few games. I think it'll be maybe a 5 or 6 game series, because I don't think the Rockets match up all that well against Golden State. The Golden State Warriors, Curry on Paul, that's a great matchup. But Curry's had his fair share of success earlier when they've played earlier this year. Then Steph Curry, or rather, Klay Thompson and James Harden. Mm-hmm. Thompson just has length over Harden, and he'll be able to get his shots off. I think the Rockets' best defenders come at positions like Ariza, where they won't impact the game quite as much, because against somebody like Harrison Barnes, Barnes is a decent player just to put in a corner and let him occupy a defender. So I think the Warriors can take this game in this series in 5 games.
You're going 5 games. I'm actually going to go with 6. I do think Houston can steal and really make this thing competitive. The thing is that I think a lot of people haven't been looking at in this series matchup. I think that Dwight Howard is going to have to be a man in that series, because I've always said that Golden State, they don't have a preeminent post presence. And when you talk about Dwight Howard going down low and banging individuals left and right, I think Dwight Howard, if he asserts himself early in that series, he could be a handful. He could be a handful.
You don't think Andrew Bogut?
I think Andrew Bogut is good. Don't get me wrong. But the thing about Andrew Bogut is his consistency throughout a year is something I've always questioned.
I think his consistency has only wavered due to health. I think when he's been healthy, Bogut is one of the best defensive centers in the league. He regularly gets rebounds, and he's got guard-like skills from that center position, which is why he was drafted first overall when he was.
Right, right.
He's a great passer. I think he can draw Howard a little bit out of the post. And when he has Howard in the post, I think he can neutralize Howard's defensive presence by just
I don't know. I just think that the way Dwight Howard has been playing on both ends of the floor, again, defensively and offensively, I just think Dwight Howard, as his athleticism and size, can really give Bogut some trouble down low.
Well, I don't deny that. Howard really has been a great pickup almost for the Rockets because he was hurt so much this season. In the playoffs, Howard really stepped up his game.
Right.
His averages are up in every major statistical category, especially minutes, which is the most important part.
Right.
And he's been fantastic. It makes you wonder, would we have had kind of a back and forth race for first place had Howard been healthy the
whole
season?
If he was healthy. And that's the reason why, you know, when you talk about this whole MVP argument, that's the reason why I would have given the MVP to James Harden, because he kept this team afloat, kept them in the playoff race, even with all the injuries that this team had to go throughout an entire year. And now we see them in the Western Conference Finals. It just makes you wonder, what if this team was healthy throughout an entire year? Let's hit our second break here, Isaac. When we come back, again, I'll be chatting with Walt Drenth, who is the director of Michigan State Cross Country and Track and Field. He'll talk about the weekend that was for his incredible squad, the women, taking the outdoor Big Ten Track and Field Championship. Don't touch that dial. You are listening to Current Sports right here on WKAR AM 870. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Again, our phone lines are open, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Again, you can also go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports. Leave us a comment there if you want to weigh in on anything that we've talked about, or even tweet me at AlMartinWKAR. Well, let's get to our guest for today's show. Now, I tell you what, it was a fantastic weekend to be at Ralph Young Track and Field for, of course, the Big Ten Outdoor Championships. Was that fun or what, folks? Now, competing in her final home meet on Sunday, senior Leah O'Connor delivered another historic performance in leading the Michigan State women's team to the Big Ten Outdoor Track and Field Championship with 128 points. The Spartan men, they recorded 55 points and finished 7th overall as Illinois took home the men's team championship. Again, the Big Ten title was the second in MSU women's program history and the first since 1982. And we've got the director of Michigan State Cross Country and Track and Field on the line to talk about the weekend festivities and accomplishments. Walt Drenth, how you doing, Walt?
I'm doing well. How you doing?
Thanks a lot for joining me. I'm doing fantastic. Now, I know you're doing very well. I actually saw a few pictures after yesterday's festivities, seeing the Gatorade get dumped on your head. First off, Walt, what was that like? What was that feeling like yesterday?
As it unfolded, it was just fun to watch the kids get involved in the race the way they did. I just thought they were outstanding from start to finish. Our 4x1 getting on the podium, and then just sort of the momentum just held throughout the 3 days of competition.
Yeah, certainly. Now, Walt, I want to talk about, of course, Leah O'Connor. Her fourth Big Ten 3,000-meter steeplechase title. She won both the women's 1,500-meter and 5,000-meter races for the second time in her career. She claimed her second straight women's 1,500-meter title on Sunday with a time of 4:14.19, and went on to capture the women's 5,000-meter run with a personal best time of 16:03.98. Walt, is it safe to say that she really set the tone for the entire weekend right off the bat for you guys?
I thought the women in the 10,000 did, and then on Friday, and then to have Leah come out, she and Katie go 1:03 in the steeple, it just gave us fantastic momentum. But keep in mind, over in the the hammer ring, mm-hmm. Cynthia Watts was breaking the record, the Big Ten record for the hammer, and so it was an overall full team momentum building weekend, frankly.
Yeah, that is certainly true. Now again, looking at O'Connor's 10 conference championships, they are actually the most in program history. Walt, for you, I mean, is she the best athlete you ever coached?
She's up there in the top of the list. I've been pretty fortunate to coach some pretty good people, so she definitely. I had a chance to coach a person that made an Olympic team and a world championship team. So but she's way up there. There's no question about it.
After NCAAs, what's next for Leah? Have you talked to her about that?
Well, the USA championships are 2 weeks following the NCAA championships, and she'll be out there trying to make a world championship team in the steeplechase. At this point, that's our plan.
Wow, that's pretty cool stuff. Yep. All right, I also want to bring up, Walt, the Spartan women's 4x100-meter relay team of Tawana Williams, Tori Franklin, Alicia Evans, and that entire squad, it clocked in with a school record time of 44.81 and finished 3rd overall. What makes that group so special, Walt?
Well, we got to add Jaleesa Wesney in there because
yeah,
she
Wesney,
was the anchor
yeah.
in that. And what I you know this has been such a great group of seniors. Their leadership and their expectations, away from the track. Our women's team cumulative GPA was over a 3.4. So when you have a big team like this and they have that kind of grade, you know the kids are really they've kind of got themselves figured out. So, I mean, what a great group, and I was really happy for them that they were able to get up on the podium. It's well earned. We've been looking for that group to we thought there was a lot of talent there, and this weekend they really did a phenomenal job and well led. I mean, they're Coach Kennard and Coach Kriegmer coach the sprint group, and those kids they've done a fantastic job of preparing them for the Big Ten championship, and then the kids have to come through, and they did.
Now, I also want to bring up these two individuals today because they were also fantastic over the weekend. Senior Antonio James, he claimed his second Big Ten Men's Discus Championship. Freshman Caitlin Daniels, she took home her first championship in women's discus. How special are those two, Walt?
Oh, man, I hate to think about next year not being able to say AJ's name at the end of every meet because every meet he does something pretty special. And, he backs it up with leadership that's just unprecedented. He's an amazing guy, and I hope that I know his season's not over. We got the first round of the Nationals, but I'd like to see him get up and on the podium at the NCAA Finals. He's ready for that. And then Caitlin Daniels, what do you say? Come out and break the school record, and our school record is formidable. When you throw as far as she did as a freshman, she's going to be. I mean, she could be the equivalent to Leah by the time she graduates here. Just not in terms of the number of championships because she doesn't do as many events, but the level of her competition, she could literally leave here a world-class athlete.
And again, she's only a freshman. Did you foresee any of the success that Caitlin could possibly have here at Michigan State? Did you see this coming at all, Walt?
Oh yeah, when we recruited her, she was one of the better throwers in the country, and we redshirted her last year, so she has four full years of maturity. Last year, she would have done well in the conference, but it wouldn't have started like this, and we feel like she the sky's the limit for her. So. But really, really proud of her efforts as well.
Fantastic success over the weekend, Walt. Again, folks, if you're just now joining us here on WKAR's Current Sports, we are talking with the director of Michigan State Cross Country and Track and Field, Walt Drenth. Now, Walt, for you, what was your preparation like leading up to this past weekend? I mean, what did you talk to your team about that really peaked to the success that they were able to pull off over the weekend?
I think that we've talked about all year. You come out of a competition, and you have to identify the things that you'll do differently. You have to identify. So, really, what did you learn, and how will you manage yourself differently? We try to avoid all the negative stuff. We don't want to go through the what don't we want to do. We wanted to go through what will we do differently, and then really focus in on the process. The part of competition you can control. We talk about that a lot. It's really important in our sport that you just manage yourself. If you get distracted by the weather or somebody in the lane next to you or if somebody throws a bomb way out there, you can't control that. So you just have to stay within yourself and do your thing. And I think I think that the group really embraced that idea. I think that's a big reason why they've had success. It sort of became pressure free. They just like, okay, what are we going to learn today? Very similar to what happened during the cross country season.
Now, speaking of that cross-country season, I mean, again, a national championship with the women's cross-country team, now a women's Big Ten outdoor championship under your belt for this year. Walt, where does this season rank in your career thus far?
I mean, I have to say it ranks up there pretty high.
Is that is it numero uno?
I don't really sit around and reflect that. Every year there's great challenges and there's great, I'm not... For me, it's the kids' championships. I'm just along for the ride. I feel like our job is to always try to teach and to help them grow up and grow as athletes and people and students and all that. Sometimes there's merit to unbelievable successes that nobody can measure because that's just part of our job. And so there have been seasons that have been really gratifying where we haven't been very good, but you've seen kids fight for things that they may they had to learn to fight for. From a competitive standpoint, this was way up there. It was outstanding, and it couldn't have been done. Honestly, you talked about the throwers; it couldn't have been done without Coach Mag. Coach Blaine Magg has just done a fantastic job, and the other staff. I mean, Coach Lisa Stankiewicz was the assistant coach, the regional assistant coach of the year indoors.
Mm-hmm.
It's just an amazing job of helping with the distance runners, and the addition of Aaron Simino has been fantastic. He's done an outstanding job as well. It takes a lot of people to keep this thing in order and keep all the balls in the air.
Yeah, you certainly have one fantastic staff alongside yourself, Walt. So in what way, you know, with that being said, in what way do you think this year has enhanced the brand of Michigan State cross country and track and field?
Well, I think, you know, our national presence certainly helps. It always helps to have a group of seniors. We've had senior leadership is the key. And if you look at most teams, you know, there are some teams that get to reload. We have to go back and do a little bit of building. But when you see, you know, success, typically it's an upperclassman laden team with great, you know, with experience and excellent leadership. Sometimes you have great upperclassmen, but the leadership doesn't exist. It's not quite the same. But this group, the leadership just been phenomenal.
Well, I tell you what, Walt, we are rooting for you. Keep it up, my friend. Again, the NCAA East Regional Track and Field Championships will be held on May 29th to the 31st in Jacksonville, Florida. The NCAA Outdoor Track and Field Championships are set for June 10th to the 13th in Eugene, Oregon. Thanks a lot, Walt, for joining me.
Really appreciate your time.
Hey, thanks a lot again. Walt Drenth, Director of Michigan State Cross Country and Track and Field. Isaac, how impressive is that, man? I mean, I saw the picture just flowing in on Twitter, and couldn't help but crack a big smile when I saw the picture of Walt just getting completely doused with Gatorade after winning over the weekend. Impressive stuff, right?
Al, what a year for MSU sports teams in general.
You've
had the football team winning the Cotton Bowl, basketball team making the Final Four, women's track and field, or cross country, rather, winning the national championship, and now this. I mean, like I always say, good time to be a Spartan fan.
That is certainly true. All right, we have 2 minutes left in the show. Of course, each and every Monday here on WKAR's Current Sports, we love to take a look at the weekend that was and bring to you our weekend winners. We'll play the intro music here, Isaac. If you had to choose one or two weekend winners for what happened this weekend in the world of sports, who would it be and why?
Well, I'm actually going to go a little bit off the map with my pick. I'm going to go with Everett Golson from Notre Dame. He graduated with a Notre Dame degree. That's pretty good. And now he's set to transfer to another school. So he'll begin playing time at a championship caliber university. And he's got a Notre Dame degree. So I think he's a winner all around.
Yeah, that's a good pick. All right, for me, I'm going to the world of boxing. Now, of course, you know, we talked a lot about Floyd Mayweather and Manny Pacquiao, but I have to bring up this individual. I truly think that, Isaac, this is the next superstar in the world of professional boxing. I really think, you know, he's the most exciting boxer out there. Again, for those that complained about the Manny Pacquiao and Floyd Mayweather fight being a snooze and you'd rather watch grass grow, well, I tell you what, you need to turn on a Gennady Golovkin fight. Again, Gennady Golovkin. That's his name. They call him Triple G. Over this past weekend, he had a big win over Willie Monroe Jr., a technical knockout that only went 6 rounds. Get this. He's 33-0 and has knocked out his last 20 opponents. Are you kidding me? He has 30 knockouts out of his 33 wins total. I mean, that's just sick. That is unbelievably insane. So watch out for him. I got a chance to see him on HBO Sports. He is an entertaining fighter, folks. All right, thanks to all of you out there for tuning in to today's Current Sports with me, Al Martin, on WKAR AM 870 East Lansing. Thanks a lot to Walt Drenth for joining me on today's show. Have a fantastic day, and be easy, people.